talking to Colin this week. Colin and I have a lot to unpack, which is a lot of fun, but we already have something in common. We each have potentially technical difficulties to work through, which is very funny at the start of the podcast. I just told him my internet's kind of been in and out, so we'll see if that holds well. And Colin, you just told me your mic stand broke literally right before the podcast. And so potentially if we lose audio for 10 seconds, it's because your mic fell off of your jerry-rigged mic stand.
Yeah, exactly. Like it couldn't have been closer to right now. Like I was literally sitting down and I went to adjust it because it wasn't quite angled at my face correctly and it just snapped off. And I'm like, this couldn't have been at a worse time. So where it's balancing right now. So as long as we don't have any crosswind, we should be all right. But it's not ideal.
Welcome. Morning, afternoon. Thanks for coming back and listening so soon. Bring in the stories of everyday folks while you sit back, relax, have a whisper, coach. Here we go with the Trend Speak podcast, bringing you insight or bringing a laugh. Here's the man who might have a plan. Give it up for your host, Trent Podskaland.
Well, Colin, welcome into the Trent Speaks podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, of course. So like I said, we have a lot to unpack and really, I don't know where to start. So I'm just going to turn it over to you. And I like to start broad so that you kind of get to pick the starting point.
Cool.
What's your story? Like how have you gotten to where you are today?
Yeah. So I'm from outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania in the United States, for those that don't know. Grew up always loving sports. I played football, basketball, primarily ran track. Did pretty well at running. I was a pole vaulter, for any of you that know what that is. Competing at the Division I level, really loved it, fell in love with just sports in general, being a huge fan. On top of that, I also had the opportunity to really grow with outdoors and through leadership with Boy Scouts. I was lucky enough to make it to become an Eagle Scout, one of the select few with that. So that was all an awesome experience. And then after college and competing in college, I found a job in sports. So I still get to talk about it today, working with the New Jersey Devils, the hockey team. So it's been a lot of fun. There's a ton of like you said, there's a lot of directions to go. So so far I'm blessed to be in the position that I am today for sure.
So where did you play when you were playing D1? Where did you play? Where'd you go?
Yeah, actually, so that's the banner right there behind me, my school, so the Mount. It's a really, really small school. Most high schools are actually bigger than it. It's called Mount St. Mary's University in Emmitsburg, Maryland. It's about an hour and a half outside of Washington, D.C. Really, really tiny school. You could walk across the entire campus in maybe 10 minutes. But it was a lot of fun. Really got to meet a lot of my friends there and still love the university to this day. So, but yeah, that's not a lot of people know about it.
I've actually heard of it before, but then again, I work in higher education, so I've heard about a lot of places probably people haven't.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
What brought you there? If you're in Pennsylvania, what brought you to the Maryland area? Was it to play sports?
Yeah, so that's a great question, actually. So I was lucky enough that my neighbor was also one of my coaches on the high school track team. And turns out that she actually went to that school, Mount St. Mary's. And not only did she go there, she was an All-American at high jump. So she was very, wow, very good. Yeah. So she was really good. And she saw that I was doing pretty good in high school. And she had recommended that I look there because I was all right. I wasn't fantastic. I wasn't able to go to Duke or, Wisconsin or whatever it is. It wasn't that good. But she recommended I look there. And then on top of that, my dad's boss was like, hey, I know your son is, looking to compete in sports in this kind of smaller D1 level. You should look at Mount St. Mary's because he and all of his family went to that school. Like the, there's buildings named after his family, like for wow. donations and stuff. So yeah, they recommend that I take a look at it. Went on a visit and, you know, just fell in love. It was kind of the, one of those moments when you just look at, you go somewhere, you do something, you just fall in love immediately. Like that was kind of the experience for me. It was really cool.
Yeah, I can relate. I had the same feeling when I went to Northern Michigan University, probably a similar size campus because we could also walk from one side to the other in about 10 minutes. Yeah. But same thing. Yeah. I mean, like I was on campus and I canceled all my other campus visits that I had because I was like, this is where I'm going to go. So I think you're right. Like you just know, it's just a feeling.
Yeah. It's awesome. Like finding that thing that you just love that you don't, it's so hard to explain to people like what it's like. People are like, oh, what made you like it so much? Like, I'm like, I don't know. Like it just felt right. Like I just knew I had to do it, you know? So it was, yeah, it's, I'm glad that I went there. It's a great experience.
Well, then you said you've had the opportunity to work with the New Jersey Devils, which is awesome. How did that opportunity come about?
Yeah. So funny enough, so my family, we season ticket holders for the Philadelphia 76ers basketball team. And so I was always like, I really want to work in sports. I really want to, because that's what I had done my whole life. That's what I knew. And so we reached out to the person that we were working with, like the person that's like helps you find out the tickets, all that stuff, the manager. And so reach out and like, my mom was like, hey, my son Colin would be interested in, you know, looking at a job with the Sixers because they're my favorite basketball team. So you might as well, you know, you want to work for your favorite team, of course. And so we reach out to him and he gives me the name of a manager that works with the entry level people. And he's like, hey, give this guy a call, figure things out. So, give him a call, Steve McMahon, shout out to him. He got my career started, had a couple interviews, and not only do the people that own the Sixers just own that team, they also own the New Jersey Devils. So, I ended up working for my manager as a, sales associate, started last May. So it's been a little over a year now. And it's awesome because you get to see the other side of sports, not just the players and coaches. Like it's a pretty cool experience.
So what is outside of coronavirus, what did day-to-day yeah. life typically look for you?
Yeah. So for me, I'm currently in the sales, a sales role. So my job is to help people get to games for the best possible prices and finding things that work for them, with how many games they hope to come to. So I'd usually come into the office sometime around 8 o'clock, get my day all situated. And then, we'd have lists of people that were interested in coming out to games or they've been to games before. So I'd reach out to them. Try to find out more information about how big of fans they were and, you know, really make a recommendation on where to go. And if it was a game day, so we would work until about 3 p.m. and then get ready to work a game, which was really cool because you'd have all the fans in the area. And I always think it of like, hey, not only do you not have to pay to go to the games, you're getting paid to work at these games, which is so cool. And so during game days, we would go there and we would work at the tables or talk to any clients that you have at games. And those days could end at around what, like games end. So probably around 10:30, 11 o'clock, depending when the game ends. So it's some long days, pre-coronavirus for sure. But, it's a lot of fun because if you're working a regular 9-to-5 job, you might get in trouble for talking about sports. And for me, I get in trouble for if I don't talk about sports all day. So it's pretty cool. I like it.
So how did coronavirus shift everything for you? How are you? Because obviously we don't know when people are going to be back allowed into arenas and stuff. So what does that look like for you in your work now?
Yeah. So it changed it up quite a bit because like it actually canceled our last 7 games of the season. So there were people that purchased, you know, tickets to games or concerts because we own the Prudential Center and there's a lot of different concerts and artists that come through. So we had to figure out what it was that we were going to do for the people that had already purchased things. And then the people that wanted to go to games in the future. So, because we don't know what fans are looking like with being in stadiums. You're hearing things like, oh, is it going to be full capacity, which is what we're acting as if it is right now? Or is it going to be, you know, quarter capacity, half? Are you going to have to only walk certain ways? Like, no one knows. It's still up in the air. So right now, we're kind of being really flexible with people. We're saying like, hey, like, you have the ability to, you know, move things around as is. Like if things with the stadium or with the arena change, like, we're going to work with you because this is our first time doing this stuff. This is your first time doing it. So let's work together rather than separately. So that's kind of what we're trying to do. Make the transition for people as simple as possible with, you know, not knowing what's going on.
That's awesome though. I mean, what an awesome story of how you've been able to like really take a passion of yours that you really enjoy doing. Like, you really enjoy sports and now you're able to work on the sports side of things. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah. And it's funny because, if you had asked me, I guess a year and 3 months ago before I had learned about this job, if I liked hockey, cause I would say, get out of here. I hate hockey. I don't know it. Like, I don't watch that sport. Like, it just wasn't something that I do. So yeah, I was a huge sports fan, but I really never watched hockey at all. And so now that I'm, you know, you're working every game, like you're in the environment, you're talking about it every day, I've really grown to like it a lot. It's been a lot of fun. So it's also cool learning about new things, and branching your, you know, what your reach and things like that.
It'd be hard to enjoy your job if you didn't like hockey for this long, probably.
Yeah, it'd be tough. It'd be hard to come in every day if I was like, oh, no, I got to talk about this again. Like, that wouldn't be a great time.
Well, and sticking on that sports topic, you had the opportunity to go to the 2016 Olympics, you said?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Not to compete, sadly. So that's like some of my fun facts. I always say like, oh yeah, I went to the 2016 Olympics. And like, what sports you compete in? Like the stands? Is that a sport? So yeah, me and my family, we went to go to Rio. This is my first time ever in South America. And so we go there and we got to see the men's 100 meter finals with Usain Bolt. This is his very last race. We were right in front of him, maybe 50 feet away.
Wow.
That was crazy being able to see, you know, a world record holder right like that. And we got to see other sports that I had never seen before, like handball. That's intense. Like, I thought it was just a gym class game. And like, they're these grown men just like chucking the ball full speed. And like, the fans are going crazy for it. And I'm like, I have no idea what's going on, but I love it. It was really cool. Like, unlike any other sport that I've ever been a part of, for sure.
How long had you planned to go to the Olympics? Like, is this something you knew for a while, or this is something like, oh, we're
actually, I actually have the ticket. So I actually have the tickets from it. Well, they won't be able to see it, I guess, but you can. But yeah, like, we still have the tickets from going. And so it was probably in the plans for about like a year or so.
Okay.
Like maybe like a year and a half. Like, my mom was like, hey, this is something that we're thinking about in late 2014. They're like, hey, this is something we're thinking about. And then eventually, like, we made the decision about a year before the Olympics, like, hey, we're gonna go. And so it took a lot of planning, but it was so much fun because it's like, it's something, you know, you never really get to see, especially being, you know, where we were and going to different cultures and everything like that. It was a great time.
Yeah. Describe what that experience was like, because I'm sure let's compare being at the New Jersey Devils game. Cool, but not like Olympic level cool, I'm sure. So like,
yeah.
Describe what that atmosphere and that environment was like for you.
Yeah, it's completely different. Because with the New Jersey Devils, like, it's fantastic. You got a ton of rowdy fans. Like, if for people that haven't been to a hockey game, I'd say whether you like it or not, the sport, a live hockey game, is one of the best sports you can go to live because it's just so fast and rowdy. Like, love it. Fantastic. The difference with the Olympics, especially when with the 100-meter final, for example, because that's probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest, you know, races or events within the Olympics behind like gymnastics. You're getting fans from all over the world. Like with, you know, a regular sports event, like you're getting fans from all over your town. Like with here, we were sitting right in front of people from Jamaica, and they're just like going crazy for Usain Bolt because, you know, it's from the country that's who they're rooting for. And then we have us like Americans, you have people from Spain sitting next to you. You got people from Brazil, you got people from England, like everywhere. So there's so many different cultures. And so you learn about these people that you're sitting next with. Like we were talking to the people that were sitting next to us from Jamaica. Like that doesn't happen. So you get all of these people. And then the best part about it is that all of them are the most passionate fans of that sport in the world. Because why would you come from England to Brazil to watch a track and field race if you weren't extremely passionate? So it's just like the environment is crazy. The fans are awesome. And it's really a once in a lifetime opportunity. It was so awesome to do. Super cool.
Will you try to go to the Olympics when they come to the US in a few years, do you think?
So that's the case. I'm hoping that I can make it out to, I think it's California, the Los Angeles Olympics, like 2024, yeah. 28, something like that. I'm hoping that I can make it out there, especially since I was an athlete for a little while. I have friends that are hoping to make it to the Olympics. So it'd be even cooler if one of my friends or someone I know is competing in it. So that's the hope. I have to see, you know, where I'm at with, you know, going there, because it's definitely not something, you know, that is light on the cash.
Right.
So I'm going to, that's my hope, to be able to go to it in Los Angeles. But we're going to have to keep our fingers crossed on that one.
Would you say that track and field is your favorite Olympic event?
Yeah, I would definitely say track and field is probably my favorite sport in general, because I've done it for the longest time and I know it, and I can understand why people wouldn't want to watch it. Like if you don't know anything about it, like, oh, why do I want to watch somebody run? Like, makes sense. It might not be for you. I can understand it. But for me, like competing in it for so long and knowing like the things that people are doing to be able to get to that level, it's really cool, because I'm like, I know how difficult it was for you to shave a half of a second off of your time. And so I really appreciate it, where like, I don't understand how certain people in other sports, like horse racing or NASCAR, like I don't know the difficulties, the precise things that go into that. Cause I'm not a huge fan of the sport, but I'm sure other people are, and they know. So it's great. Cause I have an appreciation as an athlete and also as a fan of the sport of seeing, you know, all the things that people are doing.
You know, I feel like during both leading up to the 2016 Olympics, as well as during the 2016 Olympics, there was a lot of news coverage about how bad Rio was,
yeah.
Just in terms of infrastructure, and it just kind of looked dirty and everything. What was it actually like there? Did it actually look like what the media was portraying, or was it not as bad as what the media had portrayed?
Yeah. So it really actually was not great looking at it, and it's the thing that was, you know, really disappointing, or that you can see. So when you fly in to Rio, so the airport's actually pretty far away from where everything is. The city is like, the areas that you would go to for the Olympics are very spread out. So they would have one like Olympic Village, and then like 15 miles away was like another one for like soccer. And then if you go all the way down, there's like, so it was pretty spread out and like separate pockets, and the airport was pretty far away as well. And so you fly in and you see all of these favelas. Favelas. So like pretty much just like really run down towns that are pretty dangerous, and it's pretty upsetting to see people living in some poor conditions. And they did their best to mask it. So it was kind of upsetting because they didn't try to fix the problem. They tried to mask it as if it wasn't there. So for example, I remember like very vividly, we were driving from where we were staying, like our hotel, to the one of the games, like one of the Olympic days we were going to watch. And so they have giant they have giant walls that have like the Olympic character logos like on it. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Like they're really showing off the logo all the way down the highway. Like, yeah, that's cool. And then on our way up, our way back, you're going down the hill and you see the reason that they had these giant walls was because there were favelas on the other side of it. And so they were hiding these rundown towns, trying to mask all of the people that were coming in to the games as if there was nothing wrong. And so I was like, oh, so they didn't even try to help these people. They're just trying to hide it from the Westerners coming in so they don't see what was going on. So that was disappointing. But I think that it was a great experience for me. They say they were doing certain things after the games, like making some of the buildings into schools and whatever, but I don't know if they actually ended up doing that. I hope they did, but that's what they said. So they were saying they were going to make things better, but I mean, you can only hope, you know?
Right. Who knows?
Yeah.
So I hope so. So there's no easy way to like completely divert because we were on this big sports kick, but I do want to completely divert real quick.
Oh, awesome. Let's do it.
And when I say real quick, it's not going to be quick. So I want to talk about you as an Eagle Scout, because I'll be honest, and I'm sure I could speak for my listeners or most of them, I'm not very familiar with the structure of Boy Scouts. Now I know that Eagle Scout is like, I don't know if it's the highest one you can reach, the highest one you can reach. Okay. So it is. So I'm not 100% wrong. So it's a lot of time and dedication. How long had you been involved in Boy Scouts and what was that journey to Eagle Scout like? Like, did you always know you were going to get there or you were like, oh, I'm on my way to this. I may as well just do it.
For sure. So I actually several times considered quitting really heavily. And if it wasn't for my mom and my dad, I would have, and I wouldn't have gotten this achievement that I really wanted to get. So to kind of give an example or to briefly go over like what an Eagle Scout is. So an Eagle Scout is the highest rank, like you said, of the Boy Scouts. So to put in perspective, it's 2% of anyone that ever is a Boy Scout becomes an Eagle Scout. And then only what I think like 5% of the US population, if that ever does Boy Scouts. So not a lot of people get the role. It takes a lot of time. So I had done Boy Scouts starting in Cub Scouts actually, which is the smaller version for elementary school kids. So I had been doing scouting since first grade. And then I eventually got my Eagle Scout when I was a senior in high school. So, it took 12 years, to get. So it was a really long process. And through that, you have to display, your value with leadership, and then several different tasks, whether it be, you know, swimming, athletics, knot tying's the classic. Everyone, and when people think Boy Scouts, people usually think all you have to do is learn how to tie knots and help grannies across the street. Like that's the thing that a lot of people think of, but yeah, so we did a lot of that. And then your big thing that you have to do at the end is, a project. So you have to think of something that's going to benefit the community in a positive way. And it has to be over, I think, 135 total man hours. Wow. And you have to completely do it yourself. You have to completely plan it and then get the man hours to help and do it. And so, did all that, towards the end of it, I really considered quitting. So I'm like, this is so much work and I just really want to do sports. But my mom was like, you're not quitting. You're 2 years away. You're a year away. Like, we're not going to let you stop. You're going to regret it so much if you do. And luckily I stuck with it and, got it completed. So I'm definitely proud of it.
What did you do for your project?
Yeah. So, my big project that I did, there's a school system that is right down the road for me. Like if I didn't live on the street that I do now, when I lived on the street two blocks down, I'd be going to this system that is pretty underprivileged, unfortunately. And my school system is pretty well funded and it's a pretty good school, especially in the state of Pennsylvania. And so my project, was doing a book, a school supplies, textbook backpack, all that type of stuff, drive for this school. So what I did was we put together different bins throughout the high school that I went to, middle school, the elementary schools, and also reached out to a lot of the administrators saying like, hey, we're doing this drive to collect funds to then donate to this struggling school system. We found out things that the school system needed. So they needed textbooks. We got some microscopes. We got some, backpacks to give to the students that don't have them, things like that. And so we collected all that stuff. I think we had over 10,000 items, like 100, wow. 100 telescopes, like 300 textbooks, like a lot of like children's book, pencils, things like that. And so it was really great to be able to give to this community that doesn't have the resources that we had. And so hopefully some of these students that deserve a great education then got it with some of the supplies we did. So it was a lot of work for sure. Like it definitely was not easy, especially moving all these books. Like you realize how heavy things are very quickly. And, but it was great. It was really rewarding and, glad that we got it through. So it was fun.
Are you glad that you never ended up quitting Boy Scouts? Are you glad you were able to finally follow through and become the Eagle Scout?
Oh yeah. So, there's a funny story with that. So one of my friends, his name's Colin as well. If you're listening to this, buddy, sorry about that, but I have to tell the story. So, there was like a group of friends and we all started Scouts and we were all like in the group together. We're all going through it. And like, we all wanted to become Eagle Scouts. So, my troop was really good at getting Eagle Scouts. Like I said, average is 5% people that are Scouts complete it. But in my troop, we had probably 30 or 40% ended up getting it. Like we did, like our troop did very, very well. And so my friends, most of our friends, we all were going through and getting it. And then one of us, Colin, he was like, yeah, my junior year. So he had 1 year to go. He just had to stick it out for one more year. He's like, yeah, guys, I don't think I'm going to do it. Like, I want to focus on other stuff. I don't want to do this anymore. We're like, are you sure? He's like, yeah, man, like, I'm fine. I just don't want to do it. It's not that important. He's like, I'm a life scout. I'm close enough. Like, this is fine. We're like, you're going to regret it. And he's like, no, I'm not. And we're like, okay. And so we flash forward like a year or two later. So now we're in college. We're meeting up for like spring break or something like that. And we're all together and all of us are Eagle Scouts sitting in this circle. All of us, there's like five or six of us and he's not. And so we're like, I'm like, hey, Colin. He's like, yeah, what's going on? I'm like, do you regret anything? He's like, what do you mean? Do I regret anything? I'm like, just take a look at this circle. Do you regret anything? And he's like, yeah, I do. And he's like, I'm like, what do you regret? He's like, I regret quitting Scouts. I'm like, I was 1 year away. I was such a loser. Why'd I stop? And we were all laughing at him because we were like, dude, you were so close. He's like, yeah, man, I just didn't want to do the work and I should have owned up to it. And so we always jaw at him a little bit. So I'm glad that I'm not on the other end of that joke. If I was, I wouldn't be able to deal with myself. That'd suck. That'd be disappointing.
It's probably a good thing you guys all give him a hard time because You need to.
Yeah, he's not getting away from that. He probably, right after this, I'll probably give him a text and be like, hey, man.
You're never going to let him live that one down, are you?
Oh, no, you can't. No, you can't. Like, we all got it. And so he's always like, yeah, I know I should have did it, but what can you do now? Because like, it's one of those things, once you're 18, you can't get it anymore. So it's not like college where you can go back and finish your classes. Like once it's done, it's done. So that's really disappointing for him.
Well, it looks like your microphone stand has held up thus far.
Luckily.
I bring that up because you have your own podcast. Talk to me about the name of your podcast and give people a synopsis of what they could expect if they were to tune in.
Yeah, for sure. So I've got my own podcast as well, like you said. It's called Innovators Anonymous. We have about 10 episodes out. It airs every Thursday. You can see a new show. And it's really structured around interviews kind of just like this with different people in different industries. So I've done different professional athletes. I've done artists, musicians. We have people that were coming up that are on television shows that you've probably seen on Netflix. So that's going to be exciting in the future, including even the former president of NASA. So we kind of just, you know, he's luckily my relative, so it makes it a little bit easier. It's not like I just texted him, this random guy, and he's like, yeah, we'll do it. No, there's some connections there, luckily. So yeah, we do these different interviews with different successful people in their own fields, and kind of talk about what got them to where they are, and you know, their story behind being, you know, doing well in their field. And it's pretty fun getting to learn about these people that are, you know, high level athletes, musicians, businessmen, whatever, and what makes them tick. So it's definitely fun. Just got started too. So we started in May. And so it's pretty fresh, but we're going to work out the kinks for sure.
Where can people find the podcast?
Yeah, it's on all major podcasting sites. You could see it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, a whole bunch that Google Podcasts, Stitcher. If you can watch it, or you can find it on area, even YouTube. If you look up Innovators Anonymous, it's not the video version isn't as good, I think, but you know, it's definitely one place you could see it for sure.
Yeah, my wife will definitely, I'm obviously going to tune in, but my wife is really going to like that NASA one, because a few weeks ago when the launch happened, we had sat down and watched it together, and she actually said, she goes, you know, in another life, I would have been an astronaut. She goes, I would really love to have been an astronaut. She's just so, and I am too, but she is just so appalled by all of that, and she loves science and space and everything. And so does my buddy Dylan, actually.
Awesome.
He's big into that. So I think that's where a lot of that comes from. But yeah, they'll like that podcast, I think.
Yeah, I think we actually talked about, so that one was in early May. And I think, I believe we actually talked about this future launch, because we talked towards the end. We were like, hey, what are some things that are going to be coming down the line for NASA? And he talks about that. He goes over his thoughts on aliens, which is pretty cool. Hearing you know, a former president of NASA talking about aliens, you'd think that'd be a topic they'd steer away from, but we go into that a little bit. So it was cool. It's great having some people that have connections with cool stuff, because I'm not that interesting yet.
Well, you don't think you are, but people think you are.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, man.
Colin, so you're a young guy, but you've still experienced a lot. What's been the most impactful to you so far, do you feel like?
Most impactful. Oh, man. There's been a lot of different things. So one thing that I can always go to, so I'll get into a singular event maybe later, but right now, so most impactful person for sure has definitely been my parents, and in particular, my mother. She's like, we have a really great support system. Not only that, but with my grandparents as well, have always been there to help support me. My mom will share my shows on her Facebook feed to her friends. When I decided to pursue, you know, track and field at a high level, she was right there, and is always just giving me advice on what to do and what to do at a high level. So her motto is, if you're going to do something, do it right, and the little things count. So she always is making sure that I'm being the best person that I can be. And you know, with a different family structure, I don't know if I get to do the things that I want to do now, because I've been pushed to, you know, do things correctly, or as close to correct as possible. So that's been a huge one for me. If you're looking at the most impactful, so this might get a little dark. I don't know if it might get a little bit. I'll try to keep it as lively as possible. But
no, go for it. You do you.
Okay. So when I was a kid, I had a cousin. I'm like 3-4 years old. Best friend. Like we would always like hang out with each other. He was a little bit older than me. He was in his 20s, and he a lot older actually. What am I talking about? And so we would always hang out with each other, and like we would always play games. He was like my right there, right next to me. Whenever we had family dinners, he's always sitting next to me, making sure I'm getting up to the buffet and being first in line. And when I was in 2003, so when I was like 5 years old, he was a victim of a violent crime. and trying to save a person that was being bullied in the street. So in a heroic act. And that really got to me. It completely changed my mindset on things. I really had to grow up quickly because that was my first experience with loss. And it was one of my loved ones being taken away from me. And so that was huge. And the biggest, his impact is I always do everything in his memory now. Like my favorite number is 28 because that was his number in high school for the basketball team. So always trying to do things in his memory. Because of just how great he was as community. He has a daughter that just graduated high school this year and is getting had a full ride to her private school and is looking to get quite a bit of scholarship to in college. And so it's great seeing her doing well, and it's awesome. So he definitely had that moment, I guess you could say, had the biggest impact because it really made me focus at a really young age. And so it's disappointing, and it's something that my family struggles with. But I think that I'm stronger now because of that moment in my life.
Well, and I think that really shows how much you valued that relationship as well. The fact that you are continuing to do as much as you can within his memory. So I think that really shows a lot there too.
Yeah, it's definitely been something that I've carried with me like all the time. I'm actually wearing this necklace that he gave me all the time. It's a little football piece that he gave me when I was younger. And so he had a huge impact. And I'm always trying to strive to be the best because I'm like, I know this is what he would want me to do. So let me knuck up. Let me do what I got to do and not, just worrying about things. Let me try to do the best job that I can. So always trying to live up to his memory for sure.
Well, Colin, as you've probably been able to tell, as we've been recording, the sun is going down here, which means I'm getting darker. So we should probably wrap things up here shortly.
No problem. So yeah.
The last question I always ask people, what is it that you want people to take away from this podcast? So whether it's something we've talked about today, or maybe it's something we haven't talked about, what do you want people to take away from you?
It's a great question. I would say if I want something people to take away from, one, if you're a parent and you have a kid, especially whether it's a boy or a girl, look into doing something like the Scouts. It's an awesome experience. You get to do a lot of cool things, meet a lot of the best friends of your life. And on top of that, if you value secondary education, so going to college, it's great to have on a resume. It's great to put on your college thing. So little people do it. So hope that some people would take it from that. And then, just general ideas from this, I'd hope that people would see, the value in the little things and make sure that you're trying to live every moment like it's the most important one of your life, and that you want to make sure everything's just right, because when you do something, you put it in the world, it has your name on it forever. So take these experiences, live with it, and kind of go from there. That's what I'd hope that people would take from this show at least.
Awesome, Colin. Well, thank you so much for coming on the Trent Speaks podcast and sharing your different experiences that you've had. It's been a real pleasure.
Thanks, Trent. And well, you guys have been listening to Trent Speaks podcast. It's fantastic. You can find it on your major podcasting sites. I'm definitely going to be tuning in. You got a brand new listener here. If you're looking for my story, it's Innovators Anonymous on your major things. But it's been great. It's been a lot of fun. So hopefully we'll hear you guys and see you in the future.